It is time for Dig Deep, where we pair our liberal commentator, Aaron Brown from Minnesota Brown, with conservative commentator, Chuck Marone from Strong Towns. I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for tuning in. It's December. We're going to talk about some of the big stories of the year. Chuck, do you want to begin it for us today?
Hey, yeah, sure. I'm happy to do that. We talked about wanting to just do like a year in review, but like a couple topics, not the lazy shows that everybody else does, right?
Where you just rerun the old stories?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I said, I really want to talk about fake news. We brought it up a couple times this year, and we've kind of danced around it. But we haven't really gotten in depth on it. I wanted to do a segment on it. Because I do think that it is one of the places where I think we can see the greatest cultural divide. My friends who are urban dwellers and tend to be on the left side of the political spectrum, they're completely baffled at what they see as the conservatives, and particularly rural small town conservatives, wanting to believe things that aren't true and labeling things as fake news that they see as being absolutely, completely true. It's almost, in a sense, you know, people are saying 1 + 1 = 2 and someone else is saying 1 + 1 = 3. And, you know, calling each other fake news. Like, how is this possible? They're looking at it as facts. And when I hear, like, for instance, the president say fake news, or other people who are, you know, in that realm say fake news, I'm hearing something different. I'm not hearing an argument over facts. I'm hearing an argument over kind of where ideas emanate from. I'm going to give a little analogy. One of the things that people talk about when we talk about African Americans and diversity and being inclusive with our voices in things like reporting, and if you're putting together a panel for conversation, it's not good enough to, in a sense, say, well, you know, I've got a black friend, or I know the experience. You actually have to hear an authentic voice speaking in an authentic way and actually take the time to understand that. And I think people on the left side of the perspective grasp that completely. Like, we're not aware or completely understand. So we have to include this voice. When conservatives, and I'm speaking with a very broad brush here, but I think people who live in small towns and rural areas in particular, hear things like the news. They hear CNN. They read the New York Times. They get news that kind of descends from these places. What is obvious and like painfully obvious is that the process to put together these kinds of news stories, whether it is the angle or the place where they emanate from or the story idea or the people they talk to, does not reflect anything about their experience. It does not include any kind of basis and understanding of their life. And so the idea of fake news is not the idea that, well, this is patently false. You know, global temperatures have not increased at all. But it's the idea that the people putting this together are only grasping a small part of the story, and that story is not including this broad experience that they have, that they share. It's not including them at all. And I think that that actually is a really powerful insight. I think that our media emanates from Washington, D.C., New York, Los Angeles, and a couple key thought areas in the country. The domination of our media culture all emanate from these spots. And they're, for the most part, unaware of, and I think they've started to try to acknowledge this in the last 12 months, unaware of the great mass of America that does not live in these places. I actually think the fake news moniker could become one of the lasting positives to come out of the Trump campaign and the Trump administration culturally, if it forces us to kind of rethink our assumptions about what we know about each other.
Well, Chuck, this is the one where I think we disagree.
That's okay.
we get along really well, but this is one where, and I think I'm going to start with our areas of agreement, okay. Because I, as a journalist, as a person who's worked in the media and as a very prolific media consumer as well, totally agree that, and this has been well documented actually in objective studies, where news comes from is generally speaking big cities, Washington, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and then work your way down the metro areas. And as a result of both that, because that's where a lot of the media industry is, and the fact that small town media has suffered, we covered that ad nauseum in the previous episode about journalism, because small town media has suffered from a business standpoint, there are fewer small town journalists, fewer people producing news from areas that aren't big cities. You have it tilting even more towards the point of view of people who live in the Twin Cities. As an Iron Range guy writing in the media, I feel that, and I had to do it already, I think, twice today. Today, I get phone calls from people asking me to explain.
Right.
Explain this to me. Why do people think that? Why do people do that?
I get that all the time.
And I'm sure you do too, Chuck. And yeah, it's an honor to be the person to explain it to people, I guess. But at some point, I have a tone of my, like I was listening to myself tell this guy today, and I realized I sound snippy because yeah, I've said it so many times, and they wanted to know if it was real, the feelings that miners have about environmentalists. Is that real? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I would encourage you.
The question I get a lot is, do people really believe that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out and say, I totally agree that one of the reasons why fake news is a rally that call that works for a lot of people is because there is a lack of understanding of a whole big section of the country on the part of the media. And where I disagree, though, is where I say that is a problem that can be solved by traditional means of journalism. In other words, hiring knowledgeable people who can go out and talk to real people about their real lives and the conditions they face would do a lot to address that problem. And I don't know exactly how to do it yet. We've talked about there being some paradigm shift and change that could bring that about. I think, you know, the models will change and there might be an opportunity to do that. I think it should happen. But here's my problem with the idea that the fake news will be the positive that comes out of the Trump administration. It's because we aren't all talking about the same thing when we hear the word fake news. I've seen fake news used as a reply to just about anything that someone might disagree with.
I've heard that too.
You yeah, know, and in fact, it's either real, either people really do just respond fake news, assuming that anything they disagree with is fake news. Sometimes they're joking, but they're only half joking. At meetings at work, people will, you know, I saw in the news that this, and like, oh, fake news, ha, 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 ha. And that's kind of a thing. I definitely think it's a linguistic remnant that will be around for a long time.
I hear the same. To me, and I'm going to validate what you're saying, it has become an easy way to dismiss things you disagree
yeah,
with.
Right. Which, from an intellectual standpoint, is not good, because you need to be able to stand up and address your ideas and defend your ideas against real, valid criticism for the idea to be worth its merit. And so I find that troubling. But the other thing is, there is real fake news.
That is true.
I'm just going off. Now I'm going to go into my email inbox and my my family and my friends and people I met because my kid played with them one time. People like that, you know, played with their kids, you know, and they got to know and they were Facebook friends and now they're out there and we're out there and we don't talk, but we look at each other's Facebook feeds, right? And so things like Barack Obama was born in Kenya, a demonstrably false statement.
Right.
Demonstrably false that nevertheless a lot of people still believe, and that even this year, President Trump has toted out and hinted at in a playful, strategic sort of way as a way to drive a cultural wedge between his people and other people. And then you go through the campaign and the idea that there were a number of scandals related. Now, Hillary Clinton's got her own real scandals, but she's also got a lot of scandals that were attributed to her in the last campaign that were demonstrably false. The Pizzagate and some of those other weird stories that got passed around because it makes people who support, for instance, a particular candidate feel good that there are other, that even if it's not a true story, that it says something bad about the person they don't like, right? And the thing about Barack Obama, for instance, was he kind of came in on this wave of being this multicultural candidate, and it a lot of people were either uncomfortable with that or they were uncomfortable with his policies or whatever. And it, you know, it feels pretty good to believe that he's an illegitimate president because I don't have to deal with the fact that I'm not comfortable or don't understand multiculturalism. So it's easy for me to just say that it's a conspiracy. He was put there by George Soros as he was cultivated from a young age as a Kenyan to become this Manchurian candidate. And even though all of that is completely made up, it becomes something we all have to talk about, especially if you're talking to real people who share this stuff out in out on social media, which is where a lot of people are getting their information now. Now, there are real stories shared on social media. There are real disagreements between two valid points of view. And then I've had to spend a lot of time discussing things that are just so stupid false. It gets so frustrating. We'll agree to disagree. Well, okay, no, because when you're citing facts that aren't true, that's not a valid end to the argument. You know, we might not, like, social issues.
I'm starting to chuckle.
We might, you know, not agree about religion, and we might not agree about tax policy, and those are agree-to-disagree issues sometimes. But, like, certain demonstrable facts, we have to have that bearing in reality. So what I'm getting at is that there is real fake news. There is fake news as a concept because it doesn't fully represent the truth. And then there is fake news that is just a response to valid criticism. And when you hear the word words fake news, it could be any of those things.
Right. So let me give an example recently. Recently, there was the executive order by President Trump rescinding the executive order of Barack Obama to designate a bunch of federal lands out in the West as monument area. It's fascinating because I did read a lot of this news. I read a lot of it. And what you got was what I will call a certain level of hysteria over now the exploitation of federal lands, of now we're going to have logging and mining. And it's interesting because I think that there is a legitimate story there. I think there's a legitimate story to discuss and to look at. But there was no talk whatsoever about what the monument designation actually means, what the actual implications of that are in terms of you being able to use it. Patagonia has gotten a lot of play now because they've made this kind of a sales pitch for their holiday season. Trump's taking away your land. But the reality is a monument designation means you can't go there. It's not like the boundary waters where now there's a mechanism for you to go. And no, it's like off limits to even hiking. So Patagonia, people who go buy their gear at Patagonia are now able to actually go to some of these places where they were off limits before. That's not in the news anywhere. That's not part of like the analysis anywhere. And I think people who are able to look at, say, the Trump inauguration photo and say it was there were more people there than the Obama inauguration, which is, you know, categorically a false statement, right? Like we all agree that that's a false statement, but they're able to kind of like look at each other and laugh and wink because they're actually pointing to like a deeper truth. And the deeper truth is that when the media originates from people whose like prism of looking at things is so narrow and non-inclusive of this broader American conversation, you could kind of look at them the way you look at like the new guy who shows up at work. He's like, they're the sucker at the table. They're the person who like doesn't get it. And we can have our own inside jokes about those things and kind of laugh at them. And we'll say fake news, fake news. To me, it is a parallel conversation for something that's very real. The thing that I'm heartened about, and you know, I see this in media, I think that media organizations are at the top levels starting to grasp this, and they are taking steps. Now, the steps are awkward. We talk about immigration, and we'll have the left's point of view, which is some college professor or immigration attorney. And then the right point of view is some guy we found in a Walmart parking lot going, you know, I don't like those people. And they're not equivalent points of view. They're not equivalent like intellectual conversations. I think if we can get to the point where we're having equal intellectual conversations, we will be somewhere. And I actually think that fake news thing will subside.
I think another thing that's complicating the fake news argument is the fact that, and this is another observation we kind of started making in the journalism episode, talking about how, in addition to fake news, as we've described it thus far, there is this sensationalism that exists in media and an amplification of the most extreme voices and the biggest, hottest story. One of the things that we see is that there's a salaciousness to stories that gets them bigger play than less salacious stories. So anything involving an affair becomes bigger than something involving corruption, for instance, or bribes or graft, when in the interests of democracy, both have their reasons for being looked upon negatively. We aren't set up to take seriously things that aren't salacious or sensational.
I think a psychologist would say, as humans, we're wired for gossip.
Right.
We are. We're social species wired for gossip. Sometimes the hedge fund scandal is a lot more intellectual work to understand than the sex scandal, right?
Right. And our media, particularly the big shows, maybe not the nightly news, which, by the way, I haven't watched in years.
I haven't watched it in years either.
And I used to watch it every night. When I was a kid, I watched it every night because that was the news. But now with social media, you really already have the headlines before the evening news comes on the air. But like the morning shows, cable news, and I'm not just picking on Fox, but rather CNN, MSNBC, any of the cable news that have 24 hours to fill, they end up filling. Someone on Twitter wrote that breaking news banner on CNN is really just how they come out a commercial. Because there's no such thing as breaking news.
Right.
It's always breaking news, and it's the way they get people to pay attention to it. Breaking, just breaking right now. This thing we told you last hour, still happening. And so in that environment where our, and again, you mentioned psychology, it is a psychological endeavor. In an environment where we're always looking for the new story, fear of missing out. That's why we always check our phones reflexively to check social media and why people actually get addicted to information. The fear of missing something new means that there's a constant drive, a capitalistic drive, to fill our eyeballs and our brains with something that's gonna hold us, right? This is going on while people are actively trying to create an agenda as well. And actively, foreign governments are actively engaged in trying to shape our agenda. Parties are trying to shape our agenda. Brands, you mentioned Patagonia, there's others that would be arguing different things. They're all trying to get into our heads so we buy stuff, vote for stuff, do stuff, or don't do stuff. And this is just overwhelming to people. It's overwhelming to me, and I've studied the darn stuff. I can't take it. And I know a lot of people are so frustrated out there. And so that's, I think, something about fake news that it's really hard to pin down because we're under attack.
The best journalism is the journalism where you trust the reporter to distill all of that down to its essence. And you trust them. And what's lost now is trust. And I actually think that fake news, the moniker, is tapping into that lack of trust. I think that news organizations can get trust back, but they're going to have to change what they do, and it's going to be painful for them.
It's Dig Deep. We are doing a wrap-up of 2017, some of the stories that Aaron and Chuck want to discuss. ¶¶ Mm-hmm.